Hey, everybody. Really fun show this morning. We discussed some of the new announcement regarding venture funds allocating resources towards the NFT space and more specifically the gaming space. And we're even joined by NBA legend Baron Davis, who has a history of entrepreneurship in a couple of different industries. And he's clearly getting deeper and deeper into the NFT space. Nick has a good time not understanding basketball. It's a fun show. Hope you guys enjoy it. As usual, this show is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on your mobile app. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the NFT Morning Show. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern. I'm here with my co-host, Nifty Nick, Benjamin, Captain Kicks, Easy Eats Bodega, Depeche Node, Spencer, and we will be definitely letting some more awesome speakers on stage. What a 24 hours in the NFT space. We've seen a lot more action on Ethereum than I think we had in the past week or so. I can't wait to hear Captain Kicks's weather report to really dig into the numbers. Nifty Nick, good morning. What's going on, buddy?
I'm just looking at the price of ETH, and it's down. And by the volume, well, we'll let Captain Kicks get to that. We see a heartbeat. So we see a heartbeat. So that's always good to see. But still in the context things, it's still pretty low. It was probably not okay Bears, you know, taking much of that action and before they were canceled. Now there's baby okay Bears that accounts for nearly $1 million in volume. That's the sort of stuff that we're looking at this point in time. But Other Deeds is at the top. It's incredible seeing that volume.
It's creeping up.
You also got ETH dropping. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Other Deed here. Especially, I don't know. We had anticipated, I mean, it's impossible to like predict the day-to-day movement of the market. This has been going through sort of the process that we had said a while ago or like last week, which was that we should see a little bit of bounce. But I don't think the blood is over at this point in time. So I'll be interested to see where we are in a few weeks. But I don't know. I woke up, saw ETH dipping. That was something I'd been anticipating. I was also curious how far this bounce up would go. And we haven't even broken 2150. I don't know. It's bottom line, it's lower.
Well, thanks for that insight, Nick. That was awesome.
Hey, that's just a ton of insight and value.
A project that's emerged to the top three that we haven't talked about that much on this show historically, but I've always had interest in, I've never had exposure to, is Karafuru. And they have a 3D avatar that just dropped. And I don't know, I think the art looks sick. And I thought that the art on Karafuru itself looks sick. I really have never done the deep dive research on it. But right now it's number two in volume. It goes Other Deed, Karafuru, and then OK Bears. And then you get like PXN, Bored Ape Yacht Club. Bored Ape Solana Club is actually a top six volume project right now, which is pretty crazy. But I think that we ought to throw to our very own weather reporter, Mr. Captain Kicks. My understanding is he's off book today. This is an off the dome weather report from Captain Kicks. So I'm very excited to hear his freestyling ability. What's going on, Kix?
Hey, absolute pleasure to be here today. We're out in what feels like a ghost town out here. There's not much action going on, but let's hop into it. I'm just we don't have our teleprompter down here, so I'm just kind of flying by the seat of my pants. Hope it looks good back in the studio. We're having to cut the budget here a little bit. We got a new cameraman, and it looks like it's got some shaky hands, so I hope it's coming in loud and clear over on your end. So let's start off with the volume here. Everything in life is relative, so relatively it's great. We were up 15% yesterday, but it was to an anemic $42.48 million. So still pretty low, but hey, nice little bounce right there. You got to take your wins when you can get it. That's about a 15% bounce from the previous 2 days, which was pretty low. Seems like Solana, you know, continuing to do Solana things, you know, really trying to grow up and establish itself as a big chain. But let's go through some of the top movers over the last 24 hours. As Pio mentioned, whatever that name is, Karafuru, 0.38. That's number two in volume. Other Deed is consistently getting volume. It's kind of slowly crept up from the bottom at 2.5 up to 3.2. And we're continuing to see some high, you know, some high ticket purchases. Also, it is quite impressive that the owner count is up to about 34.5K. So, I mean, for a supply that big, 98K, to have, you know, one third of the supply essentially unique is very significant. So, you know, even in a bear market, you got to give credit where credit's due. OK Bears is sitting at a 230 sold price. It is actually sucking the life force out of the NFT community. It is like Gul'dan in World of Warcraft. It must sacrifice people's souls in order to continue to grow. So that's why we're seeing so much anger and death and destruction, because just the disease plague that is OK Bears is just sucking all of the life up to continue this epic run. It's sitting at 36,000 SOL over the past 24 hours. So absolutely cranking. It's been consistently a top three NFT project overall. Quite impressive. Pixen, no one surprised to see it at 1.79. When we looked at the art preview on the website, we knew it was not going to make it. So if you're holding bags like me and Pixen, you're just hoping for a Hail Mary from right field. Maybe the token airdrop works. But guess what? Token airdrops don't work in bear markets. We all know this. So that's bad hopium. So we'll have to see what goes on here. But it's down about 50% plus from the peak pre-reveal. Once again, showing that selling pre-reveal works every time, 80% of the time. Bored Ape Yacht Club, dipping a little bit below 100 ETH, but lots of diamond hands in there. No one over there is too concerned, 97.5 floor. In legendary fashion, Bored Ape Solana Club, which is literally Bored Ape Yacht Club, just with a different name, continues to not be delisted. They're just hanging out over on Solana. They're just hanging out over on Magic Eden. They're saying, F that DMCA. We don't even know what that stands for, okay? We don't like four-letter acronyms. We don't care. That floor is at 32. Absolutely bonkers. Moonbirds, CloneX, Mutant, and Azuki, all in the top 10. They're seeing a little bit of a, you know, slight move up, but that's about it. And then we're getting lots of lovely derivatives, Baby OK Bears, and like nine others doing pretty okay on the volume. And then at 15th, of course, we have the crowd favorite, Reptilian Renegade, with 3.3 unique owners out of 4K, floor price 28.5. But yeah, if you look at the charts, I mean, there's not a lot of new action out there. It's mostly the same projects chopping around, people pushing really hard to try to get some narratives going. But here's the nice thing. The floor prices aren't bottoming out. They're not dumping all over the all over the place. So we are seeing lots of people holding despite the low volume. So that is a good sign. We got to take it where we can get it. And yeah, if you look over the crypto side, NFT Nick laid it up well. Equities down 1% going into the market opening. Crypto looks pretty similar, down a few percentage points, trying to hold those key technical levels with ETH at 2,000. But yeah, you know, over there's not a lot of talk about over here. Really hoping I'm able to hold on to my job through this bear market. Hoping we get some action. You know, I'll tell you what, even if the NFT volume weather isn't interesting, there sure was some interesting weather last night. I saw a blood moon. I saw lots of fighting in the streets. I don't even know if we're going to talk about it today, but that was an interesting fight. That was like MMA style. So, yeah, that's your weather report. Kicking it back to you in the studio. Happy Wednesday.
Thank you for the freestyle weather report, Captain Kicks. That was fantastic. This morning, I'm excited to hear from Easy, Node, Spencer, and Ben, and then we'll definitely let some other speakers on stage. I see some people, you know, requesting to speak, but I feel like this is a great opportunity to hear from Ben, Easy, Node, and Spencer. Let's start with Easy. You have your hand raised. What do you make of what's going on right now, Easy?
Yeah, I mean, the lovely soul-sucking disrespect that Kicks painted on.
You got completely rugged.
I rugged you.
Okay. So I was saying the Bears slander from Kicks is just not tolerated. It's okay, though. I accept it. It's fine. We did actually – I was sent a screenshot late last night of Nate Rivers listing some Bears, so I'm curious what that's going to play out as. It seems like he may have also been buying, but he listed, I think, 7 or 8 different rarer Bears. So I'm curious to see what's going to kind of happen there. I am also wanting to address that Solana Bored Ape situation. That's like total bullshit. They rugged a while back, and somehow now it's back up to 40 soul. Supposedly they have their own attributes, which I think is also bullshit. But yeah, it's an interesting time. I'm just really curious to see like how long I guess this kind of lasts, because the ETH side taking Solana derivatives right now and just putting like not before everything, it's a really interesting kind of flip, because this exact Twitter space used to shit on me for that same thing on Solana. So it's crazy. We've come full circle. It's a great morning. Yeah, I'm just really enjoying it and looking forward to VCon.
Yeah, well, ladies and gentlemen, Easy is launching a Solana version of this show on Monday that I'm going to co-host with him, and I really genuinely could not be more excited. It's going to be at 5 p.m. this coming Monday once we're back and hungover from going to VCon. And if anybody's going to VCon, make sure that you hit us up. Me, Nick, and Easy are going to be there. We'll definitely do an ad hoc get-together, an event. We'll get some drinks, and yeah, it'll be a great time. Spencer has his hand raised. What's going on, Spencer? How you doing?
Good morning, Pio, and I'll also be there at VCon, so I'll make sure to link up with you guys.
Epic.
Got some pretty interesting movements in the market from the venture side. So yesterday, there was a big announcement from Jenkins, the valet, who, for those of you who don't know, is a person working, a pretty early Bored Ape person who has been building some projects as well. They announced a funding round led by A16Z Crypto for his company, Tally Labs. And the VCs involved are A16Z Crypto, Dapper Labs, Will Smith Dreamers VC, Penny Jar Capital, amongst a few others. So always
that's
interesting
good
to
that
see
I sold
where Andreessen
my
is going.
I'm glad that I sold my Jenkins the day before that was announced. That was good.
Yeah, that's definitely good.
Spencer, could you run that one back? A16Z, do they invest in Jenkins?
Jenkins. So Tally Labs is Jenkins' company, and A16Z, they raised $12 million seed round led by A16Z.
That's pretty crazy. I'm so glad that I bought Jenkins the Valet at 0.03 Ethereum, which was probably about $90 at the time, maybe $110. And it looks like the floor right now is $3,500. So glad I sold it at 0.2. What a brilliant move. Go ahead. Continue, Spencer. This is one of those ones that like the instincts were there. And for some reason, a lot of people, myself included, sounds like Nick too, sold much too early.
No, I didn't sell way too early. I sold literally 2 days ago because I wanted to trade this freaking pop whatever the heck it was, and I wanted
crypto
to free
package
up some,
goods.
Yeah, and I sold.
Nick, I heard the Telegram was too difficult for you, so you sold it.
It's just I don't need to be in 30 of these groups basically, but I sold Jenkins at 1.1. It's at 1.75, literally less than 48 hours later. So I'm just gonna give myself a huge pat on the back for that trade. I mean, ultimately, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
It's a hard thing. I've been holding on to these tickets. In hindsight, though, I guess the way that I should have viewed it is that, like, there's only 6,900 of these NFTs regardless. And so with the amount of investment that they've made, it's worth holding. That said, my biggest issue was, like, I didn't understand at that moment, but I guess they're going bigger than just like, you know, a decentralized book with this sort of thing. They may be building decentralized publishing or something like that. But they also hired Neil Strauss to write a book or something. I don't know the whole I don't have enough information, so I'm speaking with imperfect information at this point. I just couldn't buy it. I was just like, I don't know, decentralized book. I have no idea. I'm getting that.
I think what we're going to see, though, is like I don't think that you've totally missed like the entry or re-entry point here, because what we've been seeing recently in this market, similar to like pre-reveal, is there's a pump on a funding announcement for something like an investment from Andreessen. Obviously, there's going to be a pump, but I don't know how long lived this will be, because usually what funding announcements like that mean is that they just raised a bunch of capital, they're going to start building, but the actual product or anything they're going to announce is several months out. And what's interesting to see too is like, if you've raised venture capital funding, then the sort of onus or the urgency to announce utility, to drive, you know, more transactions, to raise more capital for your project is a little bit less there. And I think what I've seen, at least, is from projects that have raised venture, start operating on more like realistic, real world timelines for building products. So it's just something that I think, if when we see, and we'll see more and more of in this market, as people are saying, okay, well, maybe it will be harder to go raise a bunch of money from a token offering. Let me instead go raise venture. Let me take patient capital and go for it. Like, I think we'll see more deals like this happening in this down market. And I think it's actually a good thing for the space, because what we've seen is just the level of professionalism and the level of expectations. Like, if you have a VC behind you, you have to have, you know, a board of directors, you have to have all these sort of other company things in place that I think are actually pretty healthy for the growth of a lot of these companies. Although the venture capital market, and I think it's worth noting, because this is kind of impactful to how crypto markets move as well, has been shaken up a lot recently. Not necessarily as much in the crypto space, but SoftBank and a few of the other bigger funds have dramatically reduced. So a lot of people don't know this about SoftBank, but SoftBank actually has a whole bunch of different asset classes it invests in. So does Tiger Global. And the last year, they've been doing tons of venture because they haven't liked the public equity markets. But now that public equity markets have such buying opportunities, SoftBank, for example, has said they're reducing their venture capital allocation of where they're investing by around 90%. So they're effectively stopping investing in venture, and so has Tiger Global and a few of these other bigger funds that just have venture as part of their fund rather than just being a solely venture fund. I don't think Andreessen will ever do this, but a lot of the late stage capital in venture capital has completely dried up due to increased focus on public market opportunities, which is really interesting to see, and I think will...
You can actually make like 100% from trading a stock rather than 20% in a year potentially. So that's just pretty big. And in NFTs, you can only make like 400% now. So it's
Give context though, Spencer, you can tell me, you obviously know more, but like SoftBank is kind of lives in its own world, right? They invested in everything. That if you looked at the smart VC Twitter, I mean, they're all a bunch of like blowhards, but like SoftBank was always the laughing stock for buying literally everything, right? They bought Uber, they bought what's the co-sharing work company?
WeWork.
I mean, like, they weren't exactly considered the sharpest of the sharps, right? I would avoid just looking at SoftBank, I guess. But you tell me.
I mean, I would say if you look both SoftBank and Tiger Global deployed literally billions of dollars into the market, which almost no other fund did. Like, a huge percentage of all venture funding is coming from those two funds, and it comes almost exclusively at like the later stage. And so what that did is it made a lot of the earlier stage math look a lot better. Like, you can be like, okay, well, when SoftBank came into these companies, their valuations, you know, 10x'd. And so I, as the seed or pre-seed investor, can now invest, assuming that SoftBank will like carry my bags through IPO, which is like no longer the case, because remember, venture capital investors only get money from their investments if their company IPOs or gets acquired. So, yeah, it isn't like,
I mean,
that.
If you're turning
a lot to your IPOs without their capital, because it's hard to take a company public.
If you're turning a SoftBank, though, is your exit thing. I mean, that just was like a bad thesis, I feel like. Although maybe for some people it wasn't.
They did take a lot of companies public, like.
Yeah. Either way, you know, venture funding, I agree with Spencer, is definitely a good thing for NFT projects in the sense that it does inspire the market. It plants the idea in their head that the project won't rug pull, because it's a lot harder to do that once you have venture capital funding, you know, compared to an NFT project that's just being run by like some guy. Fun fact, Benjamin's Ape, or one of Benjamin's Apes, was one of the first, or the first, Ben, to be licensed for Jenkins. And I wanted to throw to you anyway, just to get your thoughts on what's going on right now.
Yeah, good morning, POGM. Yeah, so Jenkins, we have a cool story there. Jenkins and I and a few others were involved in the first Bored Ape meetup in Brooklyn, real early on. And Jenkins was telling me that he was working on, you know, writing stories and stuff like that. So he helped me develop the name and plot and background of my ape, Johnny Altcoin, my main one. And he posted a four-part story to his Twitter. So he wrote a story for my ape and was the first one posted there. So it wasn't the first license, but he wrote like a short story about my ape. And that was really, really cool. It's how really my ape got its name and background story. And it's a fun one to look at. So I'm definitely, you know, a big supporter of Jenkins from day one.
It's so cool. I mean, it adds to the lore and it actually like really gives value to the NFT asset. It's, you know, we're so early on this stuff, but this is the stuff that everybody talks about. Look, Ben, I want to pick your brain on other deeds. So yesterday, one wallet bought $816,000 worth of other deed in an hour. It was three codaless plots. They all had black holes on them. So it seems that the black hole is the most valuable other deed trait. Kix already mentioned we're at 35% unique ownership. The floor is also creeping up to 3.18. I don't know if that's because Ethereum is pulling back and it's being adjusted, but it is the number one volume collection right now.
I fucked up with that so bad, that trade.
What trade? Losing the money on the Coda?
Yeah, that was just dumb.
Oh, okay.
Not gonna say fine. I might have said sell the Coda, Nick, and you said no. This is the future of finance. This is gonna go great. This is the future of gaming. This is the only way this is gonna happen.
Well, I do think all those things are true. However, there is apprehension around other deed. Like I tweeted about that 816K series of buys, and actually Keyboard Monkey of all people replied to it and said that he basically expressed that he thought that wasn't a good move. And I thought that was interesting because Keyboard Monkey is known to be a smart money person.
He's also very bearish. Like he trades both sides of the market, and he was basically shorting the market for a period. And I think the overall sentiment among the trading community, at least, is, well, A, we don't know which way it's going, but no one at this moment is just, from what I've seen, is just openly bullish about where this market is headed. And it feels like the general consensus was that, and there was an analysis that was done that I think then was quoted by the All In podcast, where they were talking about measuring the time from the peak to the trough of a bear market, and it took and the amount of trades that needed to happen, like how many times the shares needed to trade on the market, and we're 50% there right now. And so the indicator being that or the implication being that we still have a ways to go in this bear. Let's be clear, the market reacts faster than the actual like the stock market acts faster than the actual global market and the economy, which takes a lot longer to play out. But ultimately, I mean, I feel like the general consensus is there's more to go, and holding on to something with such a huge supply at this moment in time when the market's on shaky soil.
Yeah, it's risky. It's definitely risky.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And also, real quick, before you go, Spencer, I just want to hear what Benjamin thinks about Other Deed, just because Ben you maneuvered brilliantly as soon as Other Deed came out. If I recall correctly, Ben, you free-rolled like 9 of these or something like that, so you're holding 9 or 10 basically with a cost basis of 0 at this point. What do you make of Other Deed's current situation? Do you think that we're expecting an announcement or something like that? And what impact do you think that'll have on the project?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think I still have 11 of them left. But the first thing I'll say is I love KBM, Keyboard Monkey, though he has been pretty bearish overall on NFTs and the ape ecosystem. So, you know, take that advice with a grain of salt, although he is, you know, a really entertaining and profitable trader. When it comes to other side, I think there's a few things that are in play here. So we had the Obelisk, which is the other side roadmap, which was released last week. So that gave people a little more understanding of what's possible. And I personally believe, in my opinion, started the game. I think the game started when they actually released that information, because it's now game theory, and it's now trying to figure out what tiers are important, what resources are important, what could happen with these. So there's a lot of speculation, and I think they like having that vagueness. But again, we have only a few days left until the other deeds can be claimed. So anybody who has a Bored Ape or Mutant Ape that hasn't claimed yet, there's only a few days left for that. And then we don't know what's going to happen to the supply. You know, there's still mega codas that haven't been revealed yet or claimed yet. So there's a lot of that. And we saw that the bottom kind of hit around 2.3 or so and has been increasing since last week. So there's been a little bit, you know, more buy pressure than we had seen. We have the floor rising in, you know, in the face of this bear market. And we have more announcements to come, which some people are speculating will happen after the claim ends in a few days. So I think there's a lot of different catalysts to why this is holding up. But the more time that goes by, I think you'll see more people coming around to the potential of what this can be, and not just, oh, you gave me a piece of floating land as an NFT, but now what can you do with that when, you know, the resources start getting decoupled and people start, you know, wanting to build things with the SDKs. And there's just going to be so much to speculate on even after these periods of, like, you know, milestones pass. So, you know, I'm still bullish on it. I haven't sold any since that first week that we were talking about it. It's not that I don't have any plans for that, but I'm watching it, I'm monitoring it, and it was really cool to see the Chaos Void lands selling for so much, as that appears to be like the premium ecosystem of land that isn't within, like, the Bored Ape or the Mutant Ape land. So yeah, I'm still bullish on it. I think other people are starting to come around to it, and you're seeing a lot of diamond hands who just aren't listing near floor, especially when you consider that there's a lot of game theory to be played here. So it's a topic that I love and enjoy discussing and happy to answer questions on it.
The biggest question that our Discord has is, what are you toasting right now?
What am I toasting?
We heard the toaster, Ben.
We heard like a toaster or a microwave or some timer go off.
Oh, yes. That is my wife making her morning bagel with peanut butter and sliced bananas.
There we go. Wow.
Not bad. Holy shit. That's good right there. That's not bad at all.
Baby Jammin is 20 weeks as of today, so she's been doing her morning breakfast with the peanut butter and bananas to make sure she gets
it. Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Holy shit. Congratulations.
Eating for two. Congratulations, Ben. Can't wait for Baby Jammin to see what a maverick NFT maneuverer Baby Jammin is. I'm sure that the baby is going to be just, you know, throwing NFTs around, making money. Kix, did you have something to add to that?
I'm just saying, man, all the Bored Ape Yacht Club guys are having babies. I think that, you know, when you just get that level of gains, it just changes your hormonal structure and you just start making babies left and right.
Oh yeah, these Bored Ape Yacht Club guys are fertile.
Dude, Ape Fest was basically the modern day Woodstock. It's gonna pretty much.
Everybody was having sex. Holy shit.
Yeah, we're gonna have another baby boomer stage.
You're gonna need dudes to become capable of having babies based on the distribution at that party. But I'm looking forward to the one at NFT NYC to see if that changed, like, by any percentage greater than zero.
We're going to have scientists doing, like, you know, lectures where they point into a chart and they're like, and that was Ape Fest. And a lot of guys that hadn't gotten laid before got laid.
Nick, the good thing about that ratio is, like, 70% of the people who were there were virgins anyway. So I don't think.
Okay, got it.
So they were all... think the girls really have to worry about that, but.
They were disqualified from the market.
Well, I want to hear from Node, but Jesse has his hand raised. Jesse, what's going on?
Oh, no, I was just going to give some kind of lame alpha, since nobody wants to actually suggest projects in this market for fear of getting, you know, I think.
Yo, throw them out there. Throw them out there, Jesse. We love
no,
this
is, it's not even projects, but gas has been, like, absurdly low. I think I saw it at 5 the other night.
What?
And so when gas is this low, there are a few things you can do that people are tying. I mean, if you want to get any ENS names and sign up for them, like your last name for like 3 years, like when gas is low, that's the time to do it. If you want to spin up new wallets, if you want to just start listing things when gas is low, these are the kind of times to do some of these other little minor side things that when they come up sometimes in an emergency and gas is like 150 or whatever, you're annoyed. That was my super tighten your belt alpha for the week.
Very cool, very dope. I mean, look, Jesse's always got the little tips. He was the first person preaching about offers and whatnot. We got Node, who I'm always happy to hear from. Node, what do you think about what's going on right now?
Go long. I'm not sure.
I was about to say that.
I really wanted to say it, and I wanted to be like Nick. Last night was a really exciting show that I listened in on. It was more like, I would say, Jerry Springer type. And you guys did phenomenal, by the way. So kudos. Talking about neon ducks and things I didn't understand. I couldn't follow the conversation. People were yelling at each other. So you did a good job on the drama side. But from trying to come up with some actual alpha, I'm sitting on my hands is what I'm doing. I'm not doing really anything. What's interesting is there's a lot of big projects that don't really have anything coming up on the roadmap, like in the next month or so, right? Like, I can't really think of anything that's on deck. So
Chimpers.
What's that?
Chimpers.
Oh, yeah, Chimpers. I want to hear more about that in a minute. But like, for the most part, I don't see a lot of stuff happening. So I am, as much as I hate this disgusting chain called Solana, I am looking at it, and man, the only project that I feel like is still reasonably priced that is that they're actually seem like they're building something. There's an ongoing story and work being built is Grim Syndicate. That's Justin Mazel's project, and so I hold a couple of those. But beyond that, I really just have no idea. I feel like there's that project, and then there's
you're gonna get burned on Grim Syndicate.
What's that?
My money's that you get burned on Grim Syndicate.
Oh,
I'm
boy.
I'm up 15x on Grim Syndicate, so I don't know.
Oh, so you got an early.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I minted those suckers.
What do you expect? Okay. It's Depeche Node. Node never gets wrecked. Even when Node gets wrecked, he makes 3x.
Except for on my Tom Sachs Rocket. I've definitely gotten wrecked on that guy. I'll tell you that. But I'm curious, is anyone else on, like, the what seems to be the meta is obviously Solana stuff, and then Steppen appears to have just absolutely taken over. Like, I feel like I need to find some stats, but I feel like it's the volume on Steppen alone is probably significant and is, you know, whatever the next play.
It's like 5x Magic Eden.
Yeah, okay, so that's insane. Like, that's whatever the next Steppen is, that's where I want to be.
That's completely nuts.
Is Steppen also like a risk of any kind? Because like, if you like, Steppen's tokenomics feel very like Ponzi-ish.
We lost you, Spencer. Go ahead.
I was gonna say Steppen's tokenomics feel pretty Ponzi-ish to me, and I worry if that's a risk to the space. If that's another thing where
it's extremely Ponzi. But the thing is, right, like, they've openly said it's like a dynamic Ponzi, so they're gonna be adjusting the tokenomics. Don't get me wrong though. Like Micah even just said, he just got out, and yesterday after watching the video, I was even tempted to sell my shoes on this because like, if I sell now, I'm up 37 SOL, so like not a bad trade by any means. But it's still like the longer you hold this, the closer you get to being at the bottom of the pyramid, which is the last place you want to be.
Well, yeah,
I'm interested to see where it plays out, because like the Adidas VP of running is an advisor, like publicly on his LinkedIn and everything. So like, that's some big shoes to fill and make sure you don't really just like dump on millions of people and a million users. But we'll see what happens.
I mean, it is interesting, the idea behind Steppen. For people that don't know, you buy virtual shoes. Apparently, a higher up from Adidas is on the team, and you actually earn tokens for walking. So everybody likes the sound of that. Everybody likes the sound of, oh, you mean I just walk around and earn money? I mean, think about it. I see big dog Baron Davis in the crowd back in the day.
Yo,
when
hold
he was
on
in
one
the
sec.
League,
before,
he'd be
before
running
you,
around making money, you know?
Hey. <It's> Baron. Baron Davis, everybody. Go long, Baron. Go long.
Wrong
sport, Nick.
Wrong sport, Nick.
This NBA, the theme song from NBA on NBC. This podcast is brought to you by NBC. We're going to be taken down.
Go on.
Okay, anyway, the thing about the Ponzi of Stepan that's interesting to me is the fact that like an Adidas higher up is actually, you know, involved with the project. So that's what I want to understand. Like Easy was saying, he'll just walk his dog and he'll make $100. And, you know, Micah G, I think, made a bunch of money on it. Oh, we got Baron Davis on stage. Baron Davis, legendary NBA point guard, famous.
Here he is, the co-host of this show, Baron Davis.
Assuming all liability.
Gentlemen, I'm here. I'm back.
Welcome, legend.
Well, Baron Davis, you're a legend. When you were in college at UCLA, you had one of the nastiest fast break dribbles where you faked a behind-the-back pass and brought it to the same hand, just absolutely filthy. In the NBA, you dunked all over people. Before the Golden State Warriors were the Warriors, you dunked on Andre Kirilenko, if I recall correctly. Legendary plays. But everybody also knows that you're very entrepreneurial and your entrepreneurial pursuits have been successful. Are you making your way into the NFT space, man?
Oh, yeah. Listen here. Hey, that music always get me going, so I was ready to jump on stage. seriously. I was like, damn, we got a game today? I just watched the game.
It wasn't the go long comments that really just fit the story.
Like that right there? Oh, my gosh.
Dude, do you have like encyclopedic knowledge of various NBA and basketball moments in history, or did you have to like look something up to like recall those moments?
Nah, Nick, we got to look at his Google search history, bro. There's no way.
What do you mean? No, you don't. You don't go to Baron's Wikipedia page and it just has a line that says he dunked on Andre Kirilenko.
Kirilenko dunk is probably one of the most five favorite dunks of the last 25 years for sure.
Yeah, and the UCLA dribble I just thought was like the nastiest thing. When I thought that I was going to be good at basketball, but then I popped my Achilles, Baron Davis, so that was the end of my career.
At your bingo cards, Achilles reference. Hit your bingo cards.
But Baron, what do you make of the NFT space? Like, you know, I've long said that I feel like it's going to be a major point of contention for collective bargaining agreements in the NBA, for example, because I think a lot of players are going to want to profit deeper based off their image. We're seeing in the NCAA, athletes finally get paid after so long. There's always kind of been this whole like the business makes more money off the athletes than the athletes make. And especially in sports like mixed martial arts, I feel like NFTs are going to be a big deal because there isn't even a union there. But I'd love to hear your perspective and hear if you're in touch with any, current players and what they're thinking. He didn't like that question. He said,
"Hold on a sec." He needed a proper intro.
He left.
Baron Davis, everybody. Hey,
that was crazy.
One of our favorite co-hosts, the Baron.
PO just got Kirilenko'd.
I know. I just got dunked on by Baron Davis. Oh, he's coming back. He's coming back.
People often call me Baron Von Nick.
Okay.
Just thought y'all should know that.
Baron, are you back?
I'm back. Sorry about that.
He needed the intro music.
Yeah, I needed the music back. Sorry about that. I'm energized now.
Well, I was just asking, like, you know, what do you make of the NFT space? Like, how do you perceive it as a former big-time professional athlete? And do you feel like it's going to kind of penetrate the sports world at a deeper level in the coming years?
Yeah, I'm definitely high on NFTs and just the whole Web3 community. When you think about, the opportunities that NFTs can give for new artists, for new creators, for athletes themselves, I think it's all about, kind of this direct to fan or direct to community relationship. And so when you start thinking about sports, what we're building over at More Than Us is thinking, the way we're thinking about NFTs and metaverses and, just Web3 holistically is what are the utilities, right? How do you build product that can engage the community, that can incentivize the community, that can give the community an experience, and then the community basically, you know, has their own sense of ownership by being a part of it. So, you know, with us, we're building History of the Game, which is our own basketball metaverse. So think like a Louvre meets a Hall of Fame, but a storytelling museum. And then thinking about, you know, the NFTs as collaborating tools with, you know, artists, partners, athletes, you know, to create not just a PFP, but you're getting a PFP and being able to unlock story, content, scavenger hunts, memorabilia, things like that, and ultimately being this club where content is at, you know, is at your disposal, right? Where tickets or events are at your disposal. And I think that for sports, NFTs are perfectly aligned and built, because it's really that, it's that same ticket you walk in the arena with. And now if you walk in the arena with an NFT, you get more perks.
Quick question. What NFTs do you own, and which are your favorite?
I own a lot, over like 300 NFTs. My favorite, I like Mutants over Bored Apes.
Hell yeah.
Throwing some shade.
How come? Why Mutants?
Because I like Mutants. I like the Mutants. I love the Bored Apes. Don't get me wrong. Bored Apes is Bored Apes. I just like pick the Mutant. I like the Mutant community better than I do the Bored Apes. You know what I mean? I like the Boss Cat Rocky Club. They're incredible. A couple projects that are going to drop. One is Pod Labs Rehydrate, which is almost like a meditation pod in a meditation world. So it's like your own NFT that you can get away and have your own kind of island where you can meditate, relax. What else do I have? Bears Deluxe. I love those guys. They're great.
Did you buy those early? Because those were sitting there at a very cheap price for a long time when they moved.
Yeah. And then I'm really big on Wilder World. So I've been buying a lot of cars and shoes and everything, a bunch of assets in Wilder World. Galaxy Egg, I feel, is probably the most undervalued still to this day. Who else am I missing? And then a lot of women projects. World of Women, Boss Beauties, Boss Chicks, Aura Girls, just trying to support, you know, women, athletes, you know, I don't like to call them minorities. I just say people of culture, because we're all people of culture and story. What else do I like? That's about it. That's all I like.
Well, it sounds like, you have your wits about you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I like the doodles too. Doodles are cool. I mean,
how long did it take you to
heard of NFTs before?
Yeah, no, our audience is impressed with, you know, the kind of the knowledge that you clearly have with NFTs.
This man needs
Let's go, it's Baron Von Davis, everybody.
No, not Baron Von NFT. Davis, dude. Baron Where the Davis, bro.
Baron Davis, bro. NFT flipping master, Mewit holder, Bears Deluxe holder, legend. All-time legend, Baron Von Davis.
Not Von Davis, dude.
I added the Von. Sorry, I apologize. Okay. I call myself.
It's all right. I've been called Baron Von. I like that.
It's because he lives in a castle. That's why I like saying that. You know, it's the true land baron style.
Okay, well, Baron, have you heard of our NFT? It's pinned to the top, the Nifty Portal. It's probably the best media company NFT you could buy, and I know you're a media guy. I've seen you on TV before. Are you thinking about aping in?
The Discord wants you to. I'm looking at what they're saying, and they're saying, Baron Von.
I'm looking at everything. I'm looking at it right now, and listening, and... I love Worlds for one, and I'm thinking about
basically he said hard pass on the portals.
You can be brutally honest. You can say nope.
I love the hard pivot right into Worlds when you mentioned portals.
We are building a world. We're building a universe through these spaces. And let me tell you, the picture that we're painting of that world involves Baron Davis, everybody. That's what it includes. So,
and I just want to say, I just want to be clear, because I've been in the Nifty Portal Discord. These are people of absolutely no culture, Baron. So there's, I just want to correct the one thing. Not everybody has culture. These DJs are completely bankrupt.
I need one of these spaces. I need one of these portals. I need to like pop up in these portals because it's saying I get access. I can like be a co-host to all these different things.
Oh, that's definitely not what this is. I want to be clear. If anyone buys those, you are not becoming the co-host. Remember that. We'd have 7,000 co-hosts at this point. And let me tell you, based on the tweets I was getting last night, everyone has an opinion on the way that a space should be run. But they've literally never hosted a space. I'm not saying you haven't. I'm just saying that we got Baron Davis, everybody.
Join in the portal.
Let's go.
Well, this is very exciting. I did not know that an NBA legend was going to be joining the portal and also investing in our next round of funding. Thank you for promising that live on stage in front of thousands of people, Baron.
Thank you. No worries. I appreciate all the swag and 100 giveaways that you promised everybody.
He gets it.
He shot back.
Nick, by the time he's done,
you get a portal. Mike, raise your hand. I give you a portal. Since I'm the new co-founder.
Our company is going to be bankrupt by the time we bring Baron on. He's going to absolutely ruin this business. Thank you for joining.
Nick, we need a breaking news. Oh, yeah, and absolutely. Thank you for joining. Spencer, you got breaking news. Go ahead, Spencer.
Yeah, so breaking news out of Spencer from Spencer's venture VC headquarters.
So Andreessen just announced a $600 million gaming fund, like video game fund. That's the breaking news, which they've included in their like prior investments on their website, Artifact, which makes me think that this gaming fund is meant to be involved with NFTs. And we talk about the movement of capital in the sort of macro landscape of the big funds. $600 million being announced to deploy in a bear market is bullish, I think, for NFTs.
Gotta be. Are they gonna
my
be buying...
concern with games, though, is just like we keep buying these damn games and all of them just go to zero.
Well, someone's gonna do it right at some point.
We're launching a $1 billion fund. I don't know the time horizon over which we'll deploy it. I'll tell you, it's not gonna be imminently, but just trust us, that's gonna be deployed. I actually love, do you think they're deploying that immediately during this market?
I think so. I mean, if you look, like, again, they've already listed Artifact under like their investments in the space. And so if they're considering Artifact as gaming, I think that's an interesting move, since Artifact is kind of a hypeware, like basically a shoe company that they sold to Nike. Like, it looks like they're going to have a pretty broad definition. And so they'll have Andreessen Crypto and Andreessen Gaming, when in the past they've had to collaborate with Animoca. It looks like they're sort of building their own homegrown version of Animoca, which is super, super interesting to see multiple
Chen's
players.
Helping lead that. Okay, I like it.
Well, that means that other deed falls under gaming. That means probably, Spencer, 10KTF would qualify as gaming if they're considering Artifact to be gaming.
That project is a game because they after they make all that money with the profile pics, like, we need to do something else. But in all seriousness, I think this is really cool and significant. If you watch their hype video, they do list out like some of the investments that they've already made. But I just wanted to say that like this fund won't just be for games themselves, because there's lots of other technologies for gaming that people are trying to build on top of Web3. So, you know, guilds has been a big one. Right. But there's all sorts of other things that they can invest into that's related to games, but are like, you know, software applications, et cetera. So, you know, for example, there's, NFT gaming software out there that, you know, is for tournaments. Right. And you can run tournaments and pay people out in crypto.
things like that. So I think it's super bullish for the space in general, definitely bullish for gaming. It'll be really interesting to see what they invest, but they're not just going to invest in games, right? They're going to try to invest in like technology layers and marketplaces and things like that. So it should be interesting to see what they do with the money.
Yeah, I mean, and you're
the money to me.
Nice, Barrett. Okay. Barrett, if you are interested in investing in a round of a media company,
all right.
Anyway, Kix, so for people that don't know, Kix is the CEO of Crypto Raiders. So Kix, as the CEO of an NFT gaming company that's building on a layer two right now, like when you hear this news, does it really does it impact you at all? Do you feel like that's a good thing at all, or do you feel like this is kind of business as usual?
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of like business as usual. It's definitely like a bullish sign for the space, which is like big because, you know, we're looking at building on like a 2-3-4 year horizon. So, you know, a rising tide, you know, lifts all ships. If A16Z is leading a lot of funding into the gaming industry on Web3, that's huge for any project out there that's like looking long term and trying to build through this bear and get to the other side and succeed. So I think that's, you know, it's indirectly quite bullish. It's obviously directly bullish if you're a project that gets some of the $600 million for sure. But yeah, I think it's just continuing to validate that one of the best applications for NFTs is gaming, purely because of the digital assets. You know, gamers have been dealing with digital assets for decades now. And they have been placing value on digital assets for decades now. So the use case for NFTs in gaming is really a no-brainer. We're still very early, where a lot of the projects, you know, including Crypto Raiders, are pretty much like pre-alpha, right? And a lot of people bought assets to the game, you know, just betting on the the future of how the game's going to be. So I still think, you know, that, and that's like the tricky challenge, is like all these profile pick projects want to end up building games, but I don't think they fully realize that like the difference between doing a profile pick project and like developing a game that people want to play, it's probably like a magnitude of like 5 difficulty, you know, greater. But yeah, it's going to take longer than, you know, even I expected, I think, for the NFT, you know, gaming ecosystem to really like develop out. I think probably like, you know, like 2023 is going to be a really big year, because just, you know, great games take time. And it's also going to take time to get like mass consumer adoption and excitement. So, but yeah, overall, very bullish for the NFT gaming space, I think.
Ben, you have something to add there?
I had something I wanted to pivot to, so sure. I don't want to like just move away from the conversation.
Yo, pivot! You got the ball.
I wanted to just share a little feel good story similar to July the Ginny that we saw yesterday, or what is it, July the Ginny? I don't know.
It's gotta be Ginny. It's gotta be Ginny.
It's gotta be, right. But so there was a story that came out yesterday. So there's a pretty well known popular pixel artist named JMW that posted yesterday or a couple of days ago that they were probably going to try out NFTs, and they got a lot of hate from their followers. They have over 150,000 followers, and a lot of the responses were, you know, that market's dead, it's a scam, why would you get in? And this person posted that they make about $10,000 US a year doing their art, and so they've been trying to get commission work for their pixel art, even as low as posting for $200 and not receiving great responses. So they posted their first NFT on Foundation yesterday and immediately started getting big bids on it,
which is 19 ETH right now.
The highest bid right now is 19 ETH, and for someone making $10,000 a year to now have almost a $40,000 bid on their first NFT is going to be extremely life-changing, and something that I think people will be able to talk about for a while as a nice use case of, you know, transitioning into Web3 and NFTs. And just the response and the support that they received was just amazing, and I wanted to highlight that.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's a fantastic story, and that's the type of stuff that we heard a lot in 2021. I mean, Smiles, people might not remember this, but Smiles, you know, Wahid, he started with one of one pieces on Foundation and quickly, you know, developed a lot of hype, and that's what led to him making Smiles verse. But he had similar stories at that time where it was like, oh my God, I just sold this piece for X amount of money. And he came out, or he was early enough where he started or was like just getting started during the quote unquote NFTs are dead phase, which I'm sure a lot of people that joined later in the year aren't aware of. After the Nifty Gateway bubble burst, that was the narrative on Twitter, was NFTs are dead. And that's actually reflected in one of Wahid's early one of one pieces on Foundation. I love hearing stories like that, but I also love that narrative for the NFT space, because during this bear market, if we start to see a rotation back to fine art, I mean, look, Node was talking a little bit about an interest in fine art, looking at the price of his ring. One of my whale friends said that he's basically only buying art pieces right now, both with his fund and with his personal wallet. Would love it if he came on stage sometime and talked. But Micah, you have your hand raised. Is this on the art stuff or something else?
No, this is directly connected. I thought that story yesterday was really cool. And I think the main difference, though, is like it's hard to get established creators to come into the space because they're worried about what they're, you know, if you have 150,000 followers, there's a lot of, you know, rabid, mostly furry animal profile pictures. They get angry if you get into NFTs. But I think this is a nice like reminder to artists of if those 150,000 people can't support you in an actual monetary way and you're doing art for a living, those 150 followers don't mean a lot when having 10 followers that do have the monetary means to support you and feed your family might be worth more. So I think that that's rather than people that are just like trying to make it and, you know, don't have any followers and like, I'll try out NFTs. I think it's a lot scarier for people that have established followings to get into the space. But when that established following does not translate into being able to do art full time, I think it is going to help some artists realize that like trying out this new way to monetize and new way to find buyers is going to be powerful. So I think that story is a little different than people that happen to make it in NFTs for art. I think it might be the little catalyst some larger artists need to say, hey, it's not working out to monetize outside of Web3. It's great to have attention, but I need food. And I think it might push some of them to join. So I think it's a really good story to highlight.
Yeah, and you see like what you were talking about, basically having these artists have qualified or quality patrons. You look at the Cosimo de' Medici group, I can't think of any other, you know, institution within the NFT space that has supported artists in a bigger way. You look at someone like Vincent Van Doe. I mean, Vince Van Doe is just out here buying rare Pepes left and right when they're totally illiquid. So, you know, he's supporting all of those artists, but he also buys like, you know, one of one art pieces and art blocks and, you know, kind of everything in between. And I wouldn't be surprised if we do see like a rotation back to that. I'd love to see a rotation back to that, quite frankly. I'd love to be able to justify buying some of that stuff if it gets much more liquid. We got Iceman from the Nifty Portal community with his hand raised. I want to get a portal update. And then we got King Blackboard, who I don't think, or that Nick kept calling Blackbeard, or someone kept calling Blackbeard last night.
That was me.
That was you. That hasn't been on the show before, and I'm definitely curious to hear what he has to say. But Iceman, give us the sort of D-Gen portal update. What has been going on in our Discord over the past 24 hours?
GM, 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 ladies and gentlemen. I gotta say, first off, Baron Davis, I was always a pretty big Jason Richardson fan, so if you could hit me up in the DMs, maybe I could get an autograph or something, but we'll get to that later. Portal update, Pio, as you so kindly said, we're, you know, last night the moon quacks were running after everyone.
Excuse me, the moon yes. quacks? Okay.
Yes, the moon quacks. You can tell how.
Sounds like a good investment.
Yeah, and you can tell how degraded and truly degenerate we have gotten in this bear market. But moonquakes aside and dreams of, you know, generational wealth aside after Not Okay Bears being delisted, Allison last night had a huge piece of alpha, and I actually spy Sneaker Dad here in the audience. Sneaker Dad...
He's on stage.
He's on stage. He, you know, he quietly released a NFT called the Dad Pass. He likens it a lot to, you know, NFT, I believe Jake the DJ type thing. And, you know, he's looking to give out art every single month to the holders, but he's on stage. Let's let him speak.
Sneaker Dad.
I did not know that this was going to happen. I was just up here because I'm a 33-year-old man that watched Baron Davis growing up and wanted to say I love the Drew. So if anyone hasn't watched it, it was on Showtime, but awesome lead. I love it. But yeah, no, the dad pass. Yeah, it was just honestly – I'm a collector and I'm an artist that I dabble a little bit here and there, but Jake the D-Gen made a great token that created a ton of value for his collectors, and basically gave away a bunch of, like, you know, airdrops, and is still giving airdrops away, and we've all seen it kind of blow up. And I've been thinking about this for the last few months and decided F it for like 0.018, like literally for gas. You know, I'm going to airdrop you guys photos that I'm taking and, you know, art that I'm doing. And along the way, some curated artists that I've been talking to help onboard new artists and more traditional artists in the space. But yeah, the whole idea is you guys could hopefully sell it and make some money on the first flip. And, not fudding myself, but, you know, it's a really frictionless thing. It's really organic, but the whole idea was basically to give people free art and let them appreciate my art and tell me how much it sucks. So
very cool. And yeah. And do you manage Drift?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He posted a video on Instagram last night, man, that it just makes I'm nauseous, man. The way he's literally on an I-beam a bajillion feet in the sky, like 100 stories up, and he's just tiptoeing to the edge of the I-beam.
That's like, literally all of his videos. That's the first
literally.
Time.
I know. But yeah, anyway, all right. Well, fair enough. I just can't handle it. I might
it
have to unfollow
change.
Him.
Yeah, it doesn't change. Trust me. Like he'll send it and be like, or send a Dropbox and then be like, yeah, I just got off. And I'm like, oh, I'm like literally having like a coronary, like I'm having like some sort of like issues with my chest and like thinking I'm having a heart attack. And I'm like, please tell me you're on the ground right now. Like, please. But you know what? Like, I've been up there to some degree and I can see the smile and the light in his face when he's up there. So I don't know if any of us are going to stop him. You know, I don't know.
Fair enough. It sounds like you just want to hear that he's at sea level. Well, yeah. Shout out to Drift, talented artist, incredibly talented artist in the NFT space. King Blackboard, entrepreneur, NFT hot takes.
Hold on one sec. Here he is. The one and only King Blackbeard.
It's Blackboard.
No, almost. I was going to say Bondboard. You had my name, man. You had my name. Come on, say it with me, Nick.
It's King Blackboard. I know what the real name is, but it's still I'm enjoying the Blackbeard theme music.
Well, the same way as that, I'm enjoying the production value of yet another hit show, UMPO, running it. I want to give a special shout-out to my man, Baron Davis, B. Diddy. I love your game. You translated awesome in NBA 2K. I dusted up many a fools with you at starting point guard, so thank you very much. So yo, this is an NFT morning alpha. You guys want alpha? All I do is look at NFT markets because I'm some kind of sick degen. So I'll tell you what. Perfect. I like real quick.
Hell yeah.
So things that are hot. I think the top tier projects, the cream is rising to the top. The NFT volume overall is down, but the top projects are the ones capturing this volume. So you really want to zero in. We've been watching the Other Deed move, which is the Yuga Land drop. So it's still similar to mint price. And I think that anything that you get near the floor is going to turn favorable by the end of the year when you roll the tape back at 2022. So that is something to keep your eye on. And the claim period, I believe, ends in 3 days for the mutants. I'm expecting we get an update, possibly some decoupling information with the codas and the artifacts, and the game trailer looked pretty hype, so they're a little bit further along than people think. So there's definitely good buzz there. And if you're looking at another top project, the Moonbirds 24-hour listings is really strong. A lot of delistings. There's only 1.4% supply listed. I know they're a little bit high, but if you have a larger ETH stack, crypto doesn't look so hot at the moment. You know, Moonbirds nesting and what Kevin Rose, aka NFT Jesus, is up to. I think that that's a big time project. That's so where I'm at.
They have this pellets thing coming too, right?
I was going to say, yeah. So I feel like Moonbirds has the best trajectory for the next 3 months, because you'll probably get something like an airdrop. It sounds like $50,000 floor on a Moonbird.
They're not being, but the cream. Rise to the top. Oh, yeah. Macho madness.
Sorry, Macho. Man, come on, dude. What is going on there? My apologies. This guy gets out of control.
I thought that was actually Blackboard.
that was pretty good. But anyway, Moonbirds holding firm 25 ETH. Very impressive. $50,000 floor. Blackbeard, on the other deed front, a lot of people were complaining about how expensive.
Did
other
you just call him Blackbeard?
Damn it. I meant to say Blackboard.
Color Nixon, me not surprised.
Nick is definitely incepting me on calling you the wrong name. But you know, when I look at other deeds, right? When we talked about other deeds for basically a full week, the week that they came out. It was just the story of the NFT space. And a lot of people in our Discord were like saying, oh, they're only talking about like rich people projects, blah, 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 because they were so expensive. But now with ETH crashing and with the floor of other deeds settling at around three, you're looking at a $6,400 floor to get some land. Is that chump change? Absolutely not. It's definitely still a pricey acquisition. But a lot of people in the NFT space, I think, that have been participating for at least 6 months do have 3.2 Ethereum to deploy. So you said by the end of the year, you think that we're going to look back and we're going to say, oh, wow, these were underpriced. And you can actually reference the same thing for the dogs and the mutants during that lull in what was it, like September, October, November, like after the initial run up of the mutants, they came down earth. They settled at 3 ETH for what felt like at least 4, 5, 6 weeks. What makes you think that the future is bright for other deed?
Yeah, I think you drew a really good parallel, especially with the mutants. You know, they traded after mint price, just around mint price or one ETH above for a month or two. It was a really nice consolidation period. There's a bunch of people that were ringing the bell, and a bunch of people like Captain Trippy and D Farmer just straight up buying every single mutant that they could. You know, that was going to be a longer term play. We've seen a ton of money flow into the corporation of Yuga Labs. I think they got $450 million. There's a, you know, the ApeCoin DAO partnership is just huge. There's so many big names. Alexis Ohanian's on that panel. They're really running an excellent job. You know, the other deed is going to be operating on ApeCoin. ApeCoin is already a top 40 cryptocurrency by market cap. The other deed is going to integrate the Bored Ape Yacht Club and the Mutant Ape Yacht Club and the Punks IP from day one. So when you put all the ingredients together, I think that they have it all as far as a project. If you're going to bet on the NFT space as a whole going to grow and be somewhere, I think the other deed is a great point to park some funds in the 3 ETH price range. I think from an upside and a risk reward perspective, you know, it is expensive, like you highlighted. I mean, we're not talking chump change, but if you do have the 3 ETH, I really like the opportunity here. A few alpha plays, if you don't want to just get the floor. I like looking at environment tiers 4, sediment tiers 2. Those are slightly above the floor, like maybe just 0.1 or so above. And then you could scoop yourself up a little bit of an upgraded land. In my opinion, when we learn about what the environment tier and the sediment tier 2, I think you'll see a divergence of where they are in price. Also, rare resources right now, especially ones that are specific to lands, I think there's a lot of good value there. So I think there's opportunity. And if you're going to bet on NFTs, there's no better place than to bet on the apes.
I mean, fantastic analysis, King Blackboard. That was awesome, man. You're welcome to come on the show anytime. Micah G, you have your hand raised. Did you want to add to that?
Yeah, actually, I was, I don't want to make this another other side show,
Yeah, we can do another couple minutes on it. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's an interesting play too, is like just finding the lands that are currently potentially undervalued versus other stuff. Because the one thing that I'm thinking with other side is there's so much speculation. People are going to get wrecked once the actual game comes out, because then we're going to have a clear understanding of what has value. And like for me, CODAs are 100% a sell. I think they're probably mounts or something like that that provides some small amount of utility, but it's not game breaking. So paying, you know, 10 times what you can pay for a regular, you know, deed seems crazy to me. So I think that's one where people are going to get wrecked. And then the other thing is, I think it's probably going to be a situation where the closer you are to the center, the better, just because of convenience. Like, you know, most people probably start in the center. You're trying to mine resources or whatever. You have to travel outwards. So I think mutant lands are also undervalued right now, because other than ape lands, it's basically the most convenient place to get to. So I think that those being the same price as something that might be on the very outer edge doesn't make a ton of sense. Like, they don't carry a huge premium. So that's the other one that I've been looking into. But I'm also curious, from Blackboard's opinion, I feel like they're kind of done with ape-specific airdrops. If you look at, you know, other than the 3D figures, it feels like they're trying to expand to where everyone gets value and not so much like ape-specific airdrops. And so I'm curious if rotating an ape into a punk suddenly starts to make sense, because you have that extra, you know, history edge. It's still a Yuga product now.
Fine art as well. Fine art.
Yeah, so it's like, I feel like they've kind of said, look, guys, we gave you coins, we gave you all this extra shit, but like, now we have to become a big company with a lot of mouths to feed, right? Everyone who's invested in all of ApeCoin, all of, you know, the land. Like, I just think the era of apes and mutants and whatever getting these free massive airdrops kind of has to go away, because they're trying to do something bigger. So I'm curious if that rotation, I don't have an equivalent price NFT to a punk, but I do feel like if you have a Bored Ape right now, or you have two, I would be very interested to see if you think that's a viable idea, because I feel like that rotation suddenly makes a lot more sense. Like, they're both Yuga products. The era of Just Apes probably is kind of going away, because they need to be a bigger company. So that just feels like a big play to me,
but
that I would make
mutants,
if I could do it.
You're talking about
the membership. That's, don't forget about the membership to the club, and that does matter.
Get that, but like, that's really far away. And I feel like as Yuga products, like,
which club? You're talking about the Miami one?
The Bored Ape Yacht Club.
Yeah, but is that gonna, you're gonna pay $200,000 to have access to like an in-person thing? Look, I own
this yacht
one.
Club is lit, bro. Come on, you know that.
I mean, I'm in it, so it's pretty clear. But in terms,
there's going to be a mecha ape and mecha dogs. That
yeah,
club,
I that saw that
yeah,
coming as
ben
well.
Nailed
yeah.
it. I was going to say, I mean, the tape leaked, right, with their deck. We've seen it, and so far everything on it was, you know, kind of spot on. So I think Ben brings up the money point, because there's no doubt that the apes and the mutants are going to be involved in the mecha ape and the mecha dog. And it could be the Kennel Club actually getting an airdrop here. So I think there's opportunity, but there's also opportunity with the punks. I really like the punks at the 50 ETH price. I think that historically, they're the OG PFP. They're under the Yuga brand. You now own the IP rights. I want to see people in this space actually using their IP rights. Like you say, move an ape. I don't want people to move their apes. I want them to build characters with their apes and start building brands and get back to what the spirit of Web3 is. Stop waiting for the companies to do stuff for you. They give you the power and the ownership of your brand. Be an entrepreneur, be a Web3 entrepreneur, and build something with your ape and build something with your punk. And let's make things meaningful and include everybody along the way.
There's a transition that's happening, or the transition that I think Micah was referring to, and I don't know if people saw Cosmo Medici's tweet about NFT NYC and him not putting any PFPs in the billboards that they're doing at NFT NYC this year, and only artists. But it seems like they're doubling down on art in particular and away from the PFPs, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think it's also just it's just another subset of the area. And for real quick, for those who were saying, you know, there's a lot of other deeds talk, I just want to say
from the bottom of my heart,
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Nice, Nick. Nick hates MMA, but he thinks that's funny.
I just want y'all to fucking know that, okay?
So Drew, nice. Drew's got his hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, I think Drew's going to actually say something smart, which I'm worried about given the tone of the show. Go ahead, Drew.
Yeah, don't worry about me. I'm trying to be polite, though, and raise my hand like a good boy. So I think what's interesting, not to really change the subject, I mean, I agree on the IP rights. I'd like to see more holders of PFPs use their IP rights in fun ways. I mean, you're seeing it with Bored and Hungry. You're seeing it with some use cases so far, but I'd like to see it with more. But what I raised my hand for as a good kid in class, probably sitting on the front row here, is there's an interesting move right now being done by Spotify. I mean, we've seen Twitter make an NFT play. We've seen Instagram and Zuck and company start to try to go in that direction with an NFT play. And now we're seeing Spotify, who's already allowed music artists to share merch and to sell merch through their platform, are now making an announcement that you can sell NFTs through Spotify. So I think this opens the door for music NFTs in a way that we haven't seen yet. So I'd like to kind of riff on that for a minute with you all. Pio and Nick and Easy, you all always have such a great show here, and I appreciate being a part of it. I think and for those of you who want to read more while we're talking about it, my most recent tweet, I tweeted an article that kind of broke the news.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. I see a TechCrunch article, a Verge article. If you just Google literally Spotify NFTs, it shows up.
That's an easier way to find it.
And it seems like the gist of it is that musicians can display NFT galleries on their profile page, and then I guess those would like click through to actual NFTs, which is just a promotion distribution channel. And actually, it's like when you think about a digital commerce standpoint, like Pinterest tried to integrate commerce. Instagram has done so as well, where you can actually buy products directly within Instagram if you want. This seems like something down that line, but except on the digital front, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, and they've done it on the regular merchandise. And I bought a vinyl record from Sturgill Simpson on Spotify. I mean, they've done it for artists in the past, but this is their first play digitally to do it. It's just fascinating.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I don't have anything else to add other than like looks cool. That's bullish for NFTs.
Yeah,
I'm curious.
Quick, it's just that, yeah, and I was muted. I thought I was talking a minute ago, but basically, like, this is how you slowly introduce people to NFTs. And before you know it, between Instagram, Facebook, because I think I saw news that Meta is announcing a proper NFT marketplace. I know people were talking about like some absurd royalty that they were going to charge. Who knows how all that stuff shakes out? If no one's buying NFTs on the platform at all because the royalty is so high, then they're going to lower the royalty. Like, this
is 50%.
Yeah. So it just won't last, right? That's like, Mark Zuckerberg's not a bonehead, and he's tripling down on Metaverse, and he had already acquired Oculus. He changed the damn name of Facebook to Meta, which is a huge thing that, quite frankly, we don't talk about enough. And Instagram is obviously a massive, massive, massive platform. You know, you'll follow somebody on Twitter and they'll have like 100,000 followers, and then you'll see them on Instagram. They have like 2.5 million followers and like a really thriving business. So once NFTs are deeply integrated to platforms like Instagram, you know, I think it's only natural that Spotify is kind of the first mainstream music platform. That the only other one I could think of would be like Apple Music, right? Because you have to imagine that Apple is going to get into the game here. They don't like leaving a bunch of money on the table in the digital world, but they do tend to take a lot longer to innovate and to incorporate
incorporate stuff these days post Steve Jobs. But I have to think that this trickling in into the mainstream is going to do nothing but good. And look, we had July the Ginny on the show yesterday. Obviously, he's not the creator of the Crypto Boy song, but he contributed and is definitely building on the kind of hype that was created there. That's an example of a person in the music industry that's actually going to be able to leverage NFTs to boost them. Like, my thesis on music NFTs is the way for a music NFT to have value is for that musician to actually get big outside of the NFT space. Let's say you bought a Young Thug NFT in 2013, before he had blown up, right? Obviously, NFTs weren't a thing back then. I'm just using it as an example. But there are people that are early to these artists. Like, I had a friend that was like, yo, you got to listen to this guy, Young Thug, in 2013, before anybody knew about him, right? And then if you had bought the NFT that provided essentially funding to that artist, and everybody knows that musicians don't make a lot of money, right? Starving artists. Music is one of the bottom rungs for how hard it is to make any kind of money. It's a historically brutal industry for that. If you then support the artist early on, and then they actually progress in the proper music industry and the proper mainstream entertainment industry, you have to think those early collectibles are going to have value, especially when more and more people are in the NFT space. And Drew, I see you have your hand raised. I don't know if there's something you wanted to add to that.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying, Pia. The one disagreement that I have with your statements is you said Mark Zuckerberg is not a bonehead. Buck Duck, man. I mean, I disagree with that one. The rest of it I take at face value. I mean, for the all you degens in the audience, I think this is extremely bullish for music NFTs in particular. And so, especially from music artists that have large Web 2 presences and audiences. I think, you know, people like Snoop Dogg, you know, there's I'm talking with Time Magazine today, and they did they're doing some music NFTs and messing around with it. So I think people like BT, I think I'm extremely bullish on his projects. And, you know, I think there's a bunch of examples of people that have large Spotify followings. They're gonna shill their own stuff to their Web 2 audience, and so you've got to look at it from a degen perspective, a collector's perspective, and say, you know, this is bullish for those projects. Yeah, I mean that's it. I'm bullish on new NFT projects and working with people who have large Spotify audiences. I'm pretty excited about this news.
Absolutely, man. Go ahead, Ariana. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, first of all, I'm so happy to finally be here. I've been rushed for like spaces for an entire month. Yeah. So I'm just like, yay.
Arena's DM me like nearly every day, like, hey, can you let me on? She probably thinks I hate her. I'm like, I just have no idea you were in the crowd. We've tried from different accounts. It's a Twitter thing. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Pio would privately DM us all and say, hey, that girl Arena's trying to get on again.
Don't let her
out of here.
So what I was about to say is, like, I did you mentioned the Time magazine doing NFTs with music NFTs, and I was actually the part of their Timberland drop, and it was incredible experience. And they not only they did the music NFT, they combined and challenged so many artists. Like, I haven't done this long of an animation, so I did an animation and working with this incredible artist like Timberland. And I know photographers who've been challenged to also do their animation with photography pieces. And just for the record, floor is super low right now on that project. And you should check it out.
Very nice, Arena. we're going to wrap. This show goes till 10:30, so we're going to wrap in a minute. But I brought Dara Mola on stage, who is a musician. So I wanted to get his take, and then we'll wrap.
Yo, P.O., NFT Nick, I just wanted to say I had so much fun on your spaces yesterday. You guys, by far, you guys have probably the most, well, maybe the second most entertaining show, first being mine. But just wanted to say you guys are
awesome. I agree.
Also, dude, it's insane. But I just wanted to add to the conversation about music. I think there's something beautiful to be said here about essentially what's going on. Obviously, everyone has their perspectives on Spotify. My view on music NFTs has always been building bridges and building tunnels as opposed to building walls. In order for this thing to go as mainstream as we want it to go, right? I believe that somebody, or like you said, there has to be some sort of like magnum exposure from someone who gets it popping out in mainstream. Now, I function in the mainstream world. I'm signed to Sony. Obviously, numbers don't always do justice to the financial value of your work. I say this all the time. Last year, I ended up with 40 million streams across the boards. But this year, on my music NFT project, I'll probably make way more than I've ever made as a musician ever in my career. So I think it's beautiful that Spotify is finally is doing that. I think every other like music NFT or basically every other mainstream music platform will most likely follow suit to integrate like this new thing that's happening. But for everyone who's like, oh well, it's us against them, that stuff is BS. I think the key, and at the very core of it, I don't even know what a music NFT is, but what I know is that as a musician or as an artist, for everyone listening here, we have like a very interesting opportunity here to leverage community and leverage technology and take advantage of serving whatever it is we want to serve on this platform to get the best valuation financially for it. So that's just my two cents.
Absolutely. And I mean, look, that is not to be understated, that you can absolutely make way more money through NFTs than the traditional methods. And it's because it's cutting out the middleman. Like when so Gary Vee, like 10 years ago, used to talk about the internet cutting out the middleman. And he was right at that time. But NFT technology like murders the middleman, like really like kills the middleman hard. And that's why I was saying that, you know, a smaller act will ultimately be the innovator in the music industry. It won't be the big entities just because the NFT space moves so quick. There's no way that you're going to be able to compete with like an individual artist like a Daramola. Like you're more likely to progress NFT technology in music than you know, a big entity in the game will. But we'll continue this conversation on another show. This was a great one. Thanks to all the speakers that came on stage: Drew, Benjamin, Arena, Micah G, Jesse, Sneaker Dad, Depeche No, Daramola, our co-host Easy, Nifty Nick, my business partner, and Baron, of course, Baron Von Davis, as Nick was calling him, B Diddy, basketball legend, Baron Davis. Thanks for coming on, man.
This has been the NBA Today, copyrighted, licensed, distributed by the Nifty Morning Alpha. Baron Davis, everybody.
Yeah, so shout out to the West Coast. Shout out to NorCal. We will see you guys tomorrow and the next day from VCon. We'll be doing the show, not live. I'll just be doing it in my hotel room. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m.